Hey guys.
Hello.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
I'm good. I am currently, when this comes out,
You'll be closing.
But I'm doing Mamma Mia. It's almost over. Felt like it was never going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Felt like it was never really going to be shown to people, and now it's actually being shown to people, and I'm like, oh, it's almost over.
I enjoyed it. I thought you guys were really good.
Good. I'm so tired.
Yeah, I just have trouble with musicals sometimes because there are no subtitles.
Yeah, and you're like, what are they saying?
But at least I know, and I made my boyfriend watch the movie
so he
last
would
night
know.
So he would know what's going on, and he was like, I'm really glad you did.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's not the most complicated.
No, it's plot. Not, and if you catch enough lines, you're gonna get it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, did you see, like, the sort of the first half? It's fine.
Exactly.
Last night, our choreographer said the mics were, like, she was, like, they were so echoey on the lines that sometimes I know what you were saying, and I didn't know what you were saying.
Yeah.
And she was, like, but on the songs, it wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm.
She's, like, it was just on the lines.
It was.
For some reason. So.
It was.
A bunch of the leads have to come in early today. Not me. My mic was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But a bunch of them have to come in early today to try and reset their mics and or get them new mics.
Uh-huh.
Because the thing is basically if you have a mic, we're doing it in a third-party location. If you have a third-party location mic, it's really bad.
Yeah.
And if you have one of the mics from the school, they're really good. And I have a mic from the school because
gotcha.
I have a hair mic and they're hair mics.
Gotcha.
So, but like a lot of people have earpiece mics and that's a problem. I mean, what can you do? There's bad mics. Not really much you can do.
True.
How are you?
I'm good. Just school, podcast, work, the regular stuff.
True that.
I'm really excited to talk about this movie today.
Yeah.
I really enjoy this movie. I didn't know this was directed by a woman.
No, neither did I.
It's actually directed by the same lady who directed Jennifer's Body.
Which we covered.
We didn't know that going in.
Yeah.
And then after we watched it, I was like, oh,
two great horror films.
Yes. So this film stars people that I don't really know.
It's The Invitation. If you didn't get it from the title.
If you didn't get it from the title that you know,
we always,
consciously clicked on.
Yeah, we always are like, oh.
What's the movie today?
And then I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, the title of the episode. That's the movie. Shocking. Shocker.
A couple people who are in it. The main guy is played by this guy named Logan Marshall Green, and he wasn't really in anything else.
He's great though.
Michael Huseman, he was I think Dario Naharis in the first version of Dario Naharis in Game of Thrones.
You've seen him.
And then Tammy Blanchard.
He's also in The Haunting of Hill House.
That's true.
He's the bad brother that nobody likes.
It's true. There's also Tammy Blanchard, and she was one of the evil stepsisters
in Into the Woods.
Yeah. And then there's this one guy named John Carroll Lynch. He played, he was in Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, he was in Zodiac. Anyway.
Tammy Blanchard probably been in the most stuff.
Yeah.
That you would have heard.
She's very recognizable. She looks horrifying.
Yeah, she's a scary lady. Honestly, that's, like, one of the best parts of this movie is how fucking freaky everyone looks. I'm sorry, I used the F word. I'm trying to cut back on that on this podcast. Sorry, Mom. I know you're not listening to this, but I'm sorry. They all look very scary, and it's, like, constantly unnerving.
It is. So this movie is basically a cult film.
It's about the main character, Will.
Yes, who is very likable.
Yeah.
Very much like, he reminds me of like Chris from Get Out.
Yeah.
And that very kind
of. And it's honestly, the opening scenes from this and Get Out are really similar.
Very similar.
Like, they're almost the same.
Yeah.
Except they hit a coyote.
Yeah, in this movie they hit a coyote and he has to kill it because, you know, it's suffering.
And in the Get Out they hit a deer.
And they don't have to kill it. It just wanders off and dies in the forest.
Yeah. But yeah, really similar. But basically, Will and his girlfriend are going to...
Her name's Kira.
Kira. Are going to this party that's being hosted by his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And she basically disappeared 2 years ago, just, like, went off the radar after their son died.
Yeah, and we don't know that, we kind of know that going in, but we don't really know how it happened. It's, like, there's a veil over it.
Yeah, like, they know that we know his son died, and we know that after that, they got divorced.
Yeah.
And then she just went MIA for 2 years.
Yeah, no one knew where she was.
Well, she's back.
She's back, and she has a man.
Yes.
And she has a guru.
Yep. And, I'm gonna yawn. Sorry, guys. I'm really tired. It's just the way it is. but all her, basically all their friends are there, too.
Yeah, their old friend group, basically.
Yeah, but basically none of them are friends anymore, really. Yeah. Like, they've all drifted apart since their son died.
Yeah.
And so they're all reuniting. And there's also some new people.
Yes, because everyone's bringing their significant others. Yeah. And there's this chick who, Eden, which is his ex-wife's name, they just have this, like, Manson-esque girl
mm-hmm.
there. She looks like she's on crack.
Her name's Sadie.
Which is also one of the names of one of the Manson girls who killed Sharon Tate, so.
And then there's Pruitt, is a guy that shows up. But, so basically they just, everything's really weird. I mean, the whole party's really weird mm-hmm. in general. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. Weird crowd.
Weird, it would be awkward.
It would be really awkward. But,
oh, hey, your child's son died, and then you disappeared for 2 years, never talked to us, and now we get a written invitation to your home. And they come home, and Will is obviously, like, very paranoid, and like,
this upset. Used to be his house.
Yeah, so. And he starts noticing, like, that there are bars on all the windows now, and that they lock the door all the time. And he's asking them, like, why they're doing that, and they basically say, like, oh, it's for security, like, there have been a lot of break-ins up here recently, and also when we were gone, we didn't want the house to get broken into. And all of this seems, like, pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it seems like he might just be being paranoid and, like, you know, reacting to this awkward situation.
Yeah. And then Eden.
Yes.
Is, like, she's just, like, really happy. She doesn't seem upset about the death of her son at all.
She just seems, like, kind of just euphoric, almost.
Yeah, and it's been, like, only 2 years or something like that.
Yeah.
It hasn't been a long time at all since their son died. And so this just kind of, it puts everyone else, like, makes them feel okay, but it makes Will feel really bad because he's like, well,
he's still really broken up.
Yeah, he's like, you should feel bad. Like, you should be more upset. And anyway, so they start talking about how the reason they're not so upset is because they found this, like, thing called the invitation. They took this thing called the invitation, and it's a cult.
It's a cult.
And it's obviously a cult from the very beginning.
Yes.
But everyone's trying to be nice about it.
This, like, just don't fall into politeness. If you feel uncomfortable, just leave.
Yeah, and
It, like, kind of reaches a fever pitch, like, whenever they're kind of getting uncomfortable. They're explaining, like, the invitation and how it, like, set them free from grief and that type of stuff. And then Pruitt, this guy, shows a video of this woman dying.
Yeah, it's literally a woman, and she's, like, very sick.
And she's passing away.
And she dies on the video.
It's very upsetting.
Yeah, and everyone's, like, literally, like, why would you show us that?
Yeah, why would you do that?
And they're like, to show you that it's not scary. And they're like, yeah, no, it's weird. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they leave. Like, they all, one girl, Claire, she's at the party.
She's like, no.
She decides to leave because she's like, look, I don't want to spoil anyone's fun, but, like, this is just not my type of party. I don't want to do this. And so at first they're like, don't leave. But then Will's like, let her go. Why won't you just let her leave?
Yeah.
And so they let her leave, but it's kind of like you don't see her leave.
Yeah, and then Pruitt goes after her.
Yeah, to, like, back his car out, and he talks to her, but you don't really know if she leaves or not. It's kind of like, we actually never know. It kind of leaves it up to, like, what you think happened.
Yeah.
But,
I assume that she was murdered.
I assume she was murdered as well. But basically, that's the whole thing, is the whole time, what I like about this movie is it's really obvious that it's a cult.
Yes.
And that's going to be, like, a murder cult. From the very get-go, you think
they mentioned Manson, first of all.
You think it's going to be, they mentioned Manson, and that girl looks like a Manson girl. and they act like Manson people.
Yes.
And you think, like, they, definitely, like, they're locking the doors, everything's really weird, like, they're letting people, like, do coke.
Yeah.
They're, like, kissing, it's really weird, and you're like, they're gonna murder them, obviously. But because you're looking at it through the eyes of Will, who's, like, really distrustful.
Yeah.
The whole time you're like, well, is he just paranoid? Because every time you think for sure Will proved it, it's like, okay, well, it didn't get proved.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in, like, the last 20 minutes, we are right.
We're right.
Like,
it is a murder cult.
The whole time it's been a murder cult, and we were right, and Will was right. The scene, I think the scene where it proves that we were right is so interesting.
Yeah.
Because, so Will asks, basically, if he can go look around. And yeah. He asks to go look at their son's room.
Yes.
And she's like, yeah, go for it. So he goes up there, and then it's a flashback, and it's his son's old room.
Yeah. It's so sad.
And you think he's there, but then you see his son, and you're like, okay, this is obviously a flashback.
Yeah.
But then the flashback stops, and you realize the room has been turned into an office, and that none of his son's stuff is there anymore. And again, like, I know people grieve in different ways and stuff, but also it's only been 2 years since their 8-year-old son died, and she completely got rid of everything of him in the house.
Yes.
There's no pictures of him. Nothing in his room is the same. It's all gone. They got rid of everything in his room, and it's just an office now.
Yeah, and that's just heartbreaking for Will, obviously. Yeah,
and so he sees this laptop, and he opens it up to see what's on it, because he's nosy. He is nosy.
He's nosy and paranoid.
He's a nosy man. But he finds this, like, video of the person that's, like, in charge of their church that they've been talking about all night. That's like, we knew this was coming, my heart breaks for you all, like, but this is the way it has to be. And he's like, huh, okay. But he doesn't get to finish the video.
Yeah.
I think probably kills himself on the video.
I think so too.
But he doesn't get to finish the video, and he goes upstairs, and they're having dinner. By the way,
their dinner table is upstairs from the kitchen.
Their kitchen is downstairs, and then you have to go upstairs to get to the dining room. And there's so much food on that table. I was like,
how many trips?
So many. 20.
Yeah.
Like, who carried all that stuff up there?
Also. Right?
So anyway, I bumped my wine glass. But yeah, they're having dinner. And he goes out to the balcony for something, for air, whatever.
Yeah.
But he comes back, and he starts to think, and he sees that they're pouring wine, first of all, out of a decanter, which is just an automatic red flag to me.
Me too. Like, why wouldn't you just pour it out of the bottle?
What is it, the 70s? They're both glass. I don't understand decanters at all.
You're just dirtying a glass.
Yeah.
That's all you're doing.
So you're taking liquor out of a glass bottle, pouring it into another glass bottle so you can pour it into your cup?
Dumb.
Skip the middle, man, baby. It's already glass.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't understand, maybe it was plastic.
So there's always, you know, poison in that decanter.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Duh.
And wild. Will's like, yeah, there's freaking poison in this decanter.
So, yeah. So Will, basically, his girlfriend's about to drink it. He goes, don't drink it! And he starts smashing all the glasses. But one girl named Gina did drink it before. And then his girlfriend's like, we're going home. You're being horrible. Stop it. But then
she starts foaming at the mouth and dying.
Yeah, well, Sadie attacks Will.
Yes.
And she's like, you ruined it. You ruined everything. She attacks Will. And Will, she's tiny. She's a tiny little girl. But she looks like she's on meth. So she probably got incredible strength.
True.
And he pushes her off, and she hits her head against a table and starts bleeding. Yeah. And so everyone rushes to her, and one of the guys there is a doctor. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hold on, like, or a paramedic or something.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to make sure she's okay whenever somebody's like, hey, she's not breathing. And then he goes, no, she's breathing. And then they're like, no, not her, Gina. And you turn over, and Gina's got foam in her mouth. She's dead.
Poison.
And she's the only one that drank the wine. So he starts trying to give her CPR,
mm-hmm.
and basically force her to throw up, and then he gets shot, and Pruitt shot him.
Yep.
And then Pruitt just starts shooting everybody, and then it's just like, all hell breaks loose.
Yep. It just goes crazy from then on. And somewhere along the way, we also learn that the way that Will and Eden's son died.
It's really sad.
It's really sad. Like, his friend had a baseball bat and, like, got too aggressive and started, like, beating him to death.
And he... And it was, like, at his birthday party or something. Like, they were just playing and the kid hit him in the head with, like, a baseball bat and he died.
Yeah.
So, pretty upsetting.
Pretty upsetting.
Let me see. I want to find... I'm going to look at the plot so we can get the exact... thing of the death.
Order of events, yes.
So it's probably, Claire is number one.
Yeah.
Then it's Gina.
Yes.
For sure. So, okay. Boop, 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 boop. Will smashes the glass. Gina drinks hers before Will smashes it. Sadie attacks Will, who knocks her unconscious. Gina suddenly collapses and dies, revealing that Will was right about the drink. David, Eden, and Pruitt attack the guests, killing Miguel, Choi, and Ben. That happens all in the same room. Mm-hmm. Will, Kira, and Tommy flee and hide in the house. Will overhears David telling Eden that what they're doing is the only way they can leave the Earth and be freed from their pain. Will retrieves a fireplace poker from Sadie while she lies dying. I don't really remember why Sadie's dying. I think she's just bleeding out from her head.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, the wound is severe, but... she probably would have been okay if they'd called an ambulance, but...
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then Pruitt finds and attacks both Will and Kira. The couple overpower him, and Kira beats him to death.
Yep.
Eden shoots Will in the arm, and then shoots herself in the stomach, severely wounding herself. Tommy attacks David and stabs him to death in a brief scuffle. As she dies, Eden asks Will to come to her in her final moments. Kira, Will, and Tommy reunite and head outside with the dying Eden. Kira and Will hear... oh, also... as Eden's dying, she, like, tells him that she really misses their son and that she's really sorry.
Yeah.
But also, you just killed all our friends.
Yeah, you just also just, you know, joined a murder cult.
Whatever. So they hear sirens and see helicopters flying above. Will then sees various homes with the same red lantern that David lit earlier in the evening. Will realizes that Los Angeles is erupting into chaos as other cult members throughout the city carry out plans similar to David and Eden's.
So... good. I love that ending.
I know.
It's such a good, perfect ending. Like, you weren't expecting it.
I know. And something that I think is really interesting, like, about the movie is the reason they have the dinner is to kill their friends, and that's why they're letting their friends do whatever they want, and why they're trying to be like, death isn't scary, it's actually good, is because they want to die with all their friends.
Yeah.
Which I guess probably they were told to do, to bring people.
But... also, they, like, chose those people.
I know. Exactly. It's like they literally chose those people to kill on purpose.
Woof.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good, though. I really like this movie.
Yeah. It's not like a murder cult in, like, the I'm trying to hurt you way. It's more like, we're going to God together kind of way.
More like Heaven's Gate.
Mm-hmm. Much more of, like, it's good that we're dying. You're like, oh, well, I don't think so. It's not like Charles Manson where it was like, we do it because we want to.
Yeah. He had... oh, my God. Someday I'll go into the whole reasoning behind Manson. He's wild.
Yeah. And Choi... there's, like, this big thing with Choi.
Yeah, who's Gina's boyfriend.
Yeah. He, like, called Will earlier in the evening. Oh, this is what he did with the glasses. This is why he smashes the glasses. Or no. It's why he freaks out initially.
Yes.
Before the glasses.
Yes. Because
at dinner. He has two freaks out. Because Troy
called him and was like, hey, I'm here. I'm the first one here. It's like freaking weird.
And he's like, hey, I forgot this thing. Will you get it? Like, I'm actually early for once. But Will hadn't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And the service up there is really bad. So you can't always get service. So he got the call like 3 hours later. He got the voicemail. And then he was like, you must have done something to Troy. But it wouldn't have even been true because they wouldn't have done anything to Troy until dinner. But then also, like, they were going to poison all their friends, obviously, without them knowing. But, like, Eden gets really upset because it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, it wasn't supposed to be violent. It was supposed to be, like
going to sleep. That's what he said. And he was like, well, it doesn't matter now. Like, all that matters is we finish it.
Yeah.
Really messed up.
Really messed up.
Really messed up. I hate her husband.
I know.
Or her boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's her new husband.
Blech.
They met at a grief support group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all did. Also, in the very beginning, Pruitt talks about why he accepted the invitation.
Oh my gosh, it's wild.
And you learn that basically he was an alcoholic and he killed his wife one night in, like, a drunken rage, killed her, and then he went to jail.
And he's out.
And he's out now. And he tells everyone that he killed his wife, all these strangers. And everyone's like, ha ha ha, what?
It's a lot.
It's and really
it's,
weird.
It's interesting because it's very similar to the way that their son died.
Yeah.
Like, it's like getting beaten to death.
Yeah. And, like, a head ruined kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
And then, of course, Eden shoots herself in the stomach.
Yeah, so probably a little metaphor there for their dead baby boy.
Yes.
I would assume. It's really sad.
Yeah, it's a sad movie.
It's also just, like, I think what's interesting about it is that you know what's going to happen basically from the minute you walk in that house. Basically, in the first 10 minutes, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
I know what this is. But also, you can't help but be like, oh, it's not going to be, is
it? It's not going to be like, Will is just paranoid, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
Where it tells you the whole time what's happening.
But you're like, Rosemary's just
crazy.
She's just crazy.
And then you're like, nope.
It's not real. And then it is real the whole time.
Ha, nope, I was wrong. I've got some interesting factoids.
Ooh, yes.
Not actually, there's not very many, very much information on this movie at all. It's kind of, this is probably why. The directors and the writers had complete creative control over the film, and it was independently produced without any involvement from any major studios.
Interesting.
This is a completely, I mean, this is an A24 film, I think. Isn't it?
I don't think so. Mm. One second. No. XYZ films.
Oh, never heard of that. Zachary Quinto, Luke Wilson, and Topher Grace were all originally cast in major roles.
Whoa.
Yeah, but then none of them were in it. This is also Karen Kusama's first film in 7 years. It was her first film in 7 years, which means basically after Jennifer's Body, she did nothing until this film. Let's see. The movie poster foreshadows a crucial moment of the movie, as well as the realization at the end of the film, because it's a wine glass over him. The wine glass that they do. But it could be inferred from the wine drinking that the cult is based off the Heaven's Gate cult, in which 39 members committed ritualistic suicide.
Yep.
However, there also seems to be a potential influence from the Charles Manson cult, which originated in a time renowned for open and free love.
Yep.
So there you go.
True.
And it's not a lot of trivia in this movie. It's interesting because not a huge cast.
No, it's pretty small. They're not really, like...
Not, like, super famous.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of them aren't people that do a lot of leading roles or maybe even a lot of roles at all.
Yeah.
But it's really good. It's really pretty. I will say, there is some stuff, like, in the beginning of the movie that's kind of wacko. Like, when they're driving... They have that, like, weird slow-mo 90s thing where it's, like, it's so bad. I don't know why they did it at all.
It was not a good intro.
No. Also, it's interesting, like, so the house is a two-story house, and they really play with the levels of the house a lot. Like, when there's a scene when David's making a speech, and he stands on the top of the balcony that overlooks the thing, which is kind of interesting because... David is such a, like, really the mastermind behind all of this.
Yeah, it's very Hitchcockian, the use of staircases and power.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, why is their dining room even upstairs?
Yeah.
But inside the house is really pretty.
The lighting is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. It looks really good. What did I write? Nothing. Oh, they have a home theater. LOL.
rich people
just rich people things. It's a really, really pretty movie. It's
interesting.
It's not like, it was interesting because we'd both seen it before, but it had been like probably a year.
It had been a while since I've seen it,
and we were like, what happened?
I don't remember what happened.
I was like, I know that they end up being a murder cult, but I don't remember how we get there. I didn't really remember Sadie at all.
Yeah.
Didn't really remember anybody until it, like, happened.
Yeah.
Sadie is so scary.
She's so scary.
The scene where he comes into the bathroom, he's, like, going around the corner to the bathroom, and she's in there making faces at herself.
Oh my god, it's so scary.
I was like, what is this for? I'm scared.
Yeah, there were a lot of scenes where I was like, I am unnerved.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, the whole thing's just weird, but then it's, like, there's some stuff that's like,
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. And like...
like the story that Pruitt tells about killing his wife is like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's so freaky. And then also, what else? Whenever he's at the pool and Sadie comes outside and she's like, we can have sex if you want. And he's like, I don't want to have sex with you. And she's like, come on, I know you do. And he's like, no, I really don't. I really don't. And he's like, please go away. It's just so... definitely, Karen Kusama deals a lot with, like, sex and horror.
Yeah, very much so.
But, you know, I think that sex and horror kind of go...
I think they go well together. I think that they both, like, you know, they both make your heart race and they get you really like, excited and nervous.
The adrenaline rush,
yeah.
I think that is. I think a lot of times, like, they go hand in hand because it's, like, when you have the same emotions.
Yeah, exactly. Your same physiological responses.
Exactly. And then, also, just being, like, naked is a very vulnerable thing.
And like, that's scary.
Yeah, so it's, like, I mean, that's why it's, like, people are so afraid of, like, getting killed in the shower.
Yeah.
Because it's, like,
it's the most vulnerable place
you can really be.
Yeah.
Other than maybe, like, taking a shit.
I'm trying to think of a movie where that happens.
I don't think it does, so I don't think anybody wants that to happen. Nobody wants to be, like, oh, yeah, I'll take a shit. It's really interesting. I'm trying to see. I just saw this article that said the invitation's ending explained, and I'm trying to be what's confusing about it.
Like,
but now I'm
it's all the cult. Like there's different cult members in Los Angeles who are like, ooh, is there like a secret?
I know. I'm ending? Like, is there a secret thing that I missed? Let's see. Okay, the element that explodes into violence in the last act is when it's revealed that the group, Eden, Dave, and Pruitt, and Sadie, nobody ever includes Sadie, is a cult that believes the way to create peace is through death. The remainder of the film is a desperate struggle for survival between the host and the guest that leaves all but Will, Kira, and Tommy, and a fatally injured Eden alive. After making their way outside, seemingly to safety, the group discovers that the red lantern David lit earlier in the evening is actually a signpost that confirms a murder party is happening inside. As the survivors survey the Los Angeles hills, they are confronted with the sight of dozens of other red lanterns as far as the eye can see, indicating that theirs was but one such incident. Yes. Part of the reason that this ending works as well as it does is because by the time the extent of the chaos is revealed, the audience assumes that the danger has passed. Mm-hmm. The film's first two acts are rife with suspicion, mistrust, and misdirection. Kusama ratchets up the tension by literally standing her audience inside the house along with the characters, maintaining an overwhelming sense of claustrophobia and inability to escape for nearly the entire film. By the time the remaining characters stumble outside, there is an undeniable catharsis. Characters and audience alike have survived the attempted murder plot and come out on the other side. The sense of release is immediately undercut by the slow reveal of the red lanterns lighting up the darkness, hinting nefariously at the vast conspiracy that was initially thought to be a small, contained, isolated incident. The brief fleeting images of the sea of red lights and darkness is immensely disturbing and powerful. There's no need for further explanation or denouement. The creative team eschews the temptation to reveal the extent of the damage or the aftermath in favor of ending the film with yet another note of uncertainty. The journey of the invitation is one of heightened emotional mood swings, from the discomfort of Will and Eden's initial reunion to the suffocating grief that settles over dinner to the claustrophobic battle for survival all the way through the final reveal of the cult's widespread impact. With this final shot, there's no reassurance for the characters or the viewer. By sheer virtue of its mature restraint and the sucker punch of dread that it packs, The Invitation is unequivocally one of the greatest horror films of the last decade. I don't know about that, but also...
it was great.
It is really good. It's fun. It's a really good... I mean, it's... did it change my life? No. Did I like it? Yes. I mean, this is also 2015.
Yeah.
It's before Hereditary. What do we think are the greatest horror films of, like, I guess the 2010s, because now we're in a new decade.
Yeah.
Hereditary.
Get Out.
Mm.
Midsommar.
Let's see. Let's just look up horror films in the 2010s. Because even, like, Jennifer's Body isn't a horror film in the 2010s. Horror film of the 2010s. Let's see. Get Out. It Follows. I actually haven't seen that.
It's good. We should watch it sometime.
Cabin in the Woods.
That's one of the... Well, it's... Yeah. It's great.
It is a good movie.
It's one of my favorites.
The Conjuring. I disagree.
Disagree.
The Witch. You might agree. The Babadook.
No.
I don't think so. Hereditary, yes. Midsommar, yes. Insidious. I don't know. You know, I don't hate Insidious.
I don't either, but I don't think it's one of the... I don't think it changed the game. People called it the next Exorcist.
I think Insidious started all that. All those.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Insidious was, like, the first thing that started The Conjuring and the blah, 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 blah. It's like... So I gotta give it credit for that, because it started that huge chain of, like,
that horror, huge, that like, popular bump, horror. That huge bump in, yeah, mainstream horror.
But I don't think it's a great film.
No.
I like it.
I like Patrick Wilson. I like Rose Byrne.
Yeah. A Quiet Place. I don't know.
I haven't seen it.
I liked it, but you know how sometimes it's one of those things where it's like, it's better to not see the thing we're afraid of.
Yeah, and then you see it.
And then once you see it, it's kind of like, no, I'm not scared.
Not as scary, yeah.
I think it kind of ruined that.
Gotcha.
And I think, like, because through almost the whole movie, you never see the thing, and it's way scarier. But then
you'll
they
like it. You'll
show
like it.
It
Follows then. You'll really like
then
It
Then they
follows.
Show it, and it's like, I think once you show it, you're automatically, you should never show it. That's what I think. And you should never show it. If you can, if it's possible, if it's like a creature, and the creature has some sort of thing where it's constantly like, you're not supposed to see it, I don't think you should ever see it.
Yeah, I agree.
It
was pretty good.
It was good. It's a good remake, but also it's not a thing.
Yeah. It was good.
Suspiria. I actually haven't seen that, but people always talk about that.
It's intense.
A Girl Who Walks Home at Night.
We
talked about seeing that.
We need to watch that, yeah.
Haven't seen it. Happy Death Day. I wouldn't really consider that.
It was fun.
Wasn't, we need to talk about Kevin?
Ooh, we need to talk
That's
about
not
Kevin.
Really
it
a horror
great.
Film, I guess,
no,
but...
it's more, yeah, it's more like a psychological thriller, but it's so good. I love that film.
Lights Out.
It was fine.
Hush.
Fine.
Oculus. I like that movie.
I haven't seen
Mother? That. I don't know if I consider that horror or not.
I wouldn't consider it horror.
Hmm. The Lighthouse, that's not horror.
It's supposed to be horror.
It is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I needed to see that.
I know.
That Robert Pattinson, baby.
I know. I love Willem Dafoe, too.
And it's a horror film?
I think it's a horror film.
Definitely we need to
it's
see
it. It's Roger Ebert.
Definitely we need to see it then. What's that? Don't Breathe.
Oh.
That one was wacko.
That was wild. That's the... Oh, is that the,
That's the one with the turkey baster.
The turkey baster. That's what I was thinking about. Did we see that together?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know how I saw that.
I saw it in theaters.
I saw it in theaters, too. But I don't think I saw it with you.
I don't think so, either.
That movie might have come out before we were even in college.
No, I saw it with my ex-boyfriend. We did know each other, but we weren't, like, best friends like we are now.
Okay.
We still live in the dorms.
Okay. So, freshman year.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I definitely think the standout ones are like Hereditary, Get Out.
Yeah.
Midsommar.
Those are the standout for me.
So I guess maybe The Imitation can be in the top 10.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Like
compared to... Here's the thing. Again, I gotta give it to Insidious a little bit. I'll put him in there.
Yeah,
I gotta give it to him. They popularize a huge thing in horror that... Even though it's not my thing, it is a lot of people's thing.
Yes.
And it kind of started an entire... I mean, it's basically the reason we have The Conjuring, any of The Conjurings, any of The Sinisters, exactly. Any of The Annabelles, is basically because of Insidious.
It is, basically. Insidious started that trend, and I... You know, you have to really give it for bringing horror into the mainstream in the 2010s. Mm-hmm.
Even though it didn't... It's not the reason I think horror is being considered more art. I think it's stuff like Get Out and Hereditary that's making people consider horror as a serious...
I agree.
...genre.
I agree.
Cabin in the Woods. Listen.
People misunderstood it.
People misunderstood it. It's social commentary! Listen, people give Jordan Peele so much for, like, social commentary horror, but I'm like, Cabin in the Woods had to walk.
So
Jordan Peele could run.
That's very true.
Joss Whedon had to walk. Joss Whedon had to get his movie shit on so that Jordan Peele could have his movie get an Oscar.
True.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Do you have reviews for me?
Yeah, I do. So, this is a one... There were not very many good reviews for this movie. A lot of them were just like, I don't like it. And I was like, well, that's not funny.
I feel like you might not understand it.
And a lot of people just said it was boring. They thought it was boring. Or that they were like, well, you knew it was going to happen in the first 15 minutes. And I was like, yeah, but I think it's more... This movie, to me, is more about, like, paranoia than it is about, like, oh, surprise, it's a cult. Like, oh, okay, yeah, also, we knew it was a cult.
They, like, sprinkle themes of grief in there.
Yeah. Also, it's like, yeah, we knew it was a cult. That wasn't shocking. It's more about the journey than the destination in this movie. Oh, sorry, everyone. The hamper table. So, 1 out of 10. Spoiler alert, this is the worst movie of all time.
That's saying something.
That's real. I know. I was like,
I've seen The Last Airbender.
I was like, okay, the worst movie of all time. Yeah, we all know it's The Last Airbender. Let's not play games. This isn't even the worst horror movie of all time. There's way bad horror movies. This movie is a big steaming pile of crap. I mean, there's literally nothing else I could say to describe how bad it is. The Invitation is hands down the worst movie I have ever had the misfortune of watching. The best part of the movie is at the end when the credits start rolling. Unfortunately, I have to write 10 lines about this movie when it can be summed up with one word. God-awful. As Charles Barkley would put it, this movie is terrible. He keeps going on.
No! Okay,
he said, I have to write 10 lines. We're definitely past 10 lines at this point. And he keeps going, so I feel like he just wanted to keep writing. This movie was like my prom date. Got me all worked up, but there was no big payoff at the end of the night.
Ugh. Blech. I hate guys like that.
I know. When I'm lying on my deathbed, my only regret will be that I wasted an hour and 40 minutes of my life watching this dumpster fire of a movie. Anyone associated with the making of this film should retire immediately and solemnly swear they'll never make another movie again, ever. From the ridiculous plot that moves like a slug covered in salt, to the laughable, anticlimactic ending, this movie is a world-class dud.
Harsh.
I was like, it's not that. I don't really... There wasn't a lot of one-star reviews because I think it's, like, it's nothing really that bad about it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I could see it's not your favorite.
But I don't think it's, like, a terrible movie.
No, it's like, not, like...
It's pretty, it's well-written, it's has a nice flow.
Good actors, nice set.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
Decent story, in my opinion. I mean, I'll agree that it's not, like, a big twisting and turning plot boy, like,
but it's a journey, and like it does the job of making you uncomfortable.
Yeah, made me uncomfy.
Yeah, it's like that's a lot. That's like what being paranoid and like that group setting is about. You're getting uncomfortable.
I know,
and I think that they really make you feel like how the characters feel at that point. And I think that's it's doing its job.
Agreed. I don't definitely wouldn't say it's the worst movie ever.
No, definitely far from it.
Far from it. In fact, we just listed it in one of the best horror movies of the 2010s. Definitely not in the best horror movies of all time, but sure. The
2010s, yeah.
Yeah, there weren't that many movies in 2010s. That's only 10 years. If you're a really fast-working director, that's only one movie a year, basically.
Yep.
Well, this is kind of a short episode, but...
Well, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
Follow us on social media.
And on Patreon, we do...
We're going to do Obvious Child, starring Jenny Slate.
Yes.
And then next week, on Sunday, we are going to do American Psycho to wrap up our Female Director Month.
Yeah, with one of the probably best thriller/horror films. I'll say psychological thriller. It's not really a horror.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's one of the best psychological thrillers literally ever.
Yes, it's like literally on the list.
On the list. I think it actually might be on the AFI's top 100 films of
all
time.
I think it is.
American Psycho. So good.
And
Christian Bale
is awesome.
The pinnacle of his career.
Yes.
For sure.
Oh, he's so good at it. The scene where he's looking in the mirror while having sex is like
so
wild.
Honestly, just the very beginning scene where he's like, every day I wake up and I do this and this and this. I'm like, oh, I love it. I love it. So, definitely one of the greatest psychological horrors of all time, directed by a woman.
Yep.
And it's probably one of the only AFI films directed by a woman that's on there at all.
Very true.
So, Jane and I have gone on quite the journey.
Well, listen, when you want to find a female-directed film, you have to look for it.
Yeah. And also, like, a lot of the films we tried to do are, like, from this year.
Yeah.
Like, we did Little Women, We talked about doing Hustlers. We talked about doing The Farewell.
But they're not on Redbox.
No. Or to rent. Anywhere else at all. So
we can't find them.
Not unless we want to purchase them full price.
So then we just, like, scoured Netflix for female directors.
We were like, who is this? Also, okay, if you guys remember back or if you listened to it, the episode we did a few weeks ago, The Hitchhiker.
Uh-huh.
It was The Hitchhiker and a Political Rant, I believe is the title of the episode. So that director's name is Ida Lupino. And she was a film noir. She was the first female to ever direct film noir.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not have known who Ida Lupino was at all if we hadn't done The Hitchhiker.
Oh, yeah. Not at all.
And I don't think...
She's one of the best.
I don't think anybody really knows her that much unless you're really into, like, film noir or women directors. One of those two things. You gotta be in one of those categories.
It's very niche.
To know who she is. And we were, like, kind of looking... And I found this, like, 50 greatest women directors of all time. She was, like, number 20. And I was like, nobody even knows who this is. Nobody's even ever heard of this person. And she's number 20? It's like, and she's only directed, like, 2 films.
That's like, wild.
I was like, and yeah, they're good films, but also, greatest of all time. No male director is going to be on a list. This is the greatest male directors of all time, and he directed 2 films.
Very true. It's very disproportionate.
Yeah, it's been really difficult to find films. And even we tried not to repeat directors, and then we watched The Invitation and we looked it up and we were like, oh, it's the same person that directed Jennifer's Body. Whoops. Okay, well, she's directed 2 films and we did both of them.
Yep.
And she's directed more than 2 films, but also we did 2 of her films. It's like very
2 of her best known films.
It's also difficult. Like, yeah, there's tons of female directors, but it's hard to find ones who have done popular movies that people will have heard of.
Yes, very true.
I mean, we took a risk by doing The Hitchhiker.
It's very true. And then we added in a Political Rant.
So that hopefully people would watch. But it's definitely like difficult to find female directors who are doing popular movies unless they're movies that are coming out right now.
Yeah, agreed. It's upsetting.
And that's why we've done so many movies that have been recent.
Yes.
But hey.
Hey. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.